Good morning. Happy Wednesday morning. What a beautiful day out there. I want to thank those great Americans at South Coast Towing for getting me in here this morning. What a great group of guys and gals over at South Coast Towing. You should always have South Coast Towing in your phone. If you have our app, they're one of the sponsors. So you have the phone number right there because, remember, if you're in an accident, the police, something happens, you can always tell them, I'd like you to call South Coast Towing, because they're always on the list no matter what town you're in. South Coast Towing will come get your, probably your most prized possession, your vehicle. All right? Anyway, lots going on today. We'll have the mayor of New Bedford here, John Mitchell. That always seems to be a fun segment for the audience and for me and for the mayor. And no mayor's playlist, though, this week. Maybe forever. We're having a little problem at the corporate level. And Tim's doing his best, and everybody else is doing their best. But it looks like, if you haven't already noticed it, music will be gone from the program. All programs here. They're flagging. Because what we produce here also is a digital project. It goes on YouTube and a whole bunch of other platforms, and the music that we play here is getting us flagged, and so we've had to cut it out. So it's not the mayor, it's not Chris, it's not Tim, it's, you know, not even our corporate overlords, it's the corporate overlords of the world, people you don't even really know. You'll never know who are saying that we can't play music here anymore. And what can you do? You just can't play music. Fortunately, I can talk on the air because it's all original. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. Got a big vote coming up in the surrounding communities. Carver, Mattapoisett, Rochester, Acushnet, and Lakeville. You're going to have to re-vote on whether you want to raise your own taxes to build a new Old Colony vocational school. Look, when I was a selectman, I got behind building new schools. I thought they were necessary. I think people living in Freetown and Lakeville will say they were. We had to vote it twice. Was it popular? Well, not among vocal people, it wasn't, as I recall. But do you think costs are going to go down? I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm just telling you that costs might go down if you change out the governor, but change out some of the legislators. But generally speaking, construction costs, labor, materials, regulations, that's about the only part you can change, the regulations. That will cause costs to go down. So you do have an opportunity in November, potentially, to elect a different governor who might be able to change some of the regulations. But if you don't do that, the regulations will stay the same. And you don't have to deal with it. But anyway, on the 20th, this Saturday, the towns of Mattapoisett, Lakeville, Rochester, Acushnet, and Carver, you're going to go to the polls. You may not go, but you should. And vote one way or the other on building a new Old Colony. Only you know what you can afford to vote for. Only you know what your values are. And what you can afford to build or not build. So you gotta not be swayed by the crowd one way or the other. You gotta make a personal decision and go vote. We'll talk more about that on Thursday. Later in the morning, we'll be joined by Kelly Dooner, Republican state senator. But in the meantime, let's go to the phones. Good morning, Mike Jansen.
Good morning. I think that'd probably be a no vote. I think the people are smart enough to realize that until there's new revenue sources come into all those towns by the state and the federal government, that going to the taxpayer to build that is not a necessity right at the moment. Okay, what I really want to talk about is, and this might put me in jeopardy here, but now, when you were a selectman, if you had a person that didn't show up for work a lot and he was making a lot of money, you would get rid of him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, sometimes, depending on who it is and what position, you got to go through a lot of hoops and processes. Yeah. But yeah, of course, yes.
Okay, I've talked to a lot of police in the hierarchy here in New Bedford, and our police chief doesn't show up. He's a no-show here at 260-some-odd thousand a year, and you don't show up. Really show up. If you do show up, it's rare. I mean, this is what some of the police officers have told me. Nothing that I've made up. This is the hierarchy in the police department have told me this. So isn't that a shame to pay a guy that kind of money when you could have got the captain from the South Bend police station?
Mike.
What?
I mean, come on. Thanks for the call. I don't think that's a fair charge to make. Certainly not on the radio. Chief Thody is always responsive. I mean, Mike, again, I respect your opinion and I respect your sources, but I don't think that's a fair charge to make here on my program. I don't feel comfortable with that at all. The man was a chief of police in another city. He knows how to do his job. I've had a lot of interactions with Chief Thody. I think he's a gentleman. He's a professional. And the ways of the world in communications are a lot different than they were even a few years ago, but certainly years ago. A cell phone, a text message, you're never out of contact. So I don't think that that's, and first of all, it's not a fair charge to put in front of me because I have no way of verifying any of that information. You know that, Mike, and neither do you, really. I think to do that to the chief of police on a show that thousands of people are listening to, including the rank and file, and to make it a topic, it's just really outrageous and unfair because how can I defend that? How can I comment on that? I don't know. I'm going to tell you that the man's a professional and he's getting the job done. And I haven't heard that. So anyway, but I mean, listen, this is what open line radio is all about, right? You can say anything you want, really, but I got to stand up for the fact that I don't have any way of confirming or denying that charge against the chief of police, except to say that I know him to be a professional. He went through an extensive background and hiring check, and today's communications are not, you don't have to be sitting behind a desk to run a police department. In fact, in my conversations with City Council President Ryan Pereira pointed out one of the reasons that he doesn't think you necessarily need a new police headquarters is because of modern communications and that everybody's individual vehicle, police cruiser, leadership vehicle, or own personal car is basically an office. Any way you can take an email, phone call, text message, and write something down is an office. So, I don't know. I find it to be an unfair charge to make here on the radio where the man's not here to defend himself and you knew he wouldn't be here. He's not regularly here. Although he's here anytime I call him. Now, I don't like that charge. I don't think it's a reasonable thing to make about a professional. Not at all. 508-996-0500. Speaking of personal automobiles, hope yours is in good running order. If it's not, and how would you know? Get it over to Mac Auto Sales, family-owned business in the city of New Bedford. Mac Auto Sales, located on Rivet Street, repairs all makes and models of automobiles, including the one you drive, and they will update and fix your car. Get it ready for the coming heat wave of July and August, right? Even September's brutal now. Call and make an appointment today at Mac Auto Sales and Repair, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. You're driving a foreign car, perfect. Mac Auto Sales specializes in repairing and updating foreign automobiles. They do a wonderful job with American made as well. Mention WBSM, they'll give you a nice break on the repair bill. They update and repair all the vehicles here between Fun 107 and WBSM, our entire fleet. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and the quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. Back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hello.
So, Chris, you said music.
Yes.
And it's being flagged.
Yes.
So that means what exactly?
I can't play. Like, you know, I would play Paul Overstreet and Van Halen and stuff like that, but coming in and out of commercial breaks. Tim does it. Barry does it. We're not supposed to do that anymore. We can't do that anymore.
Well, I mean, instead of jumping to, so there will be no music.
Right.
This is the day the music died. No. There are a real lot of live bands that play around here.
Yes.
Good musicians, good vocalists, good music.
Yes.
And you're a local station. Ken might be able to put you in touch with some of them. If they gave their okay that it was played, could you kind of highlight them during, you know, it wouldn't be what you're playing, but it would be music and it would be good.
Yeah, I get that. And believe me, you're not the first person in the conversation to think of that. But there's all
the first one to think of everything.
Well, we all are in our own mind, right? But what I mean by that is, yeah, we've looked at a lot of different ways. Certainly, I know a lot of musicians, professional and semi-professional. We've got one on staff here, but there's a lot of copyright, records companies, all kinds of stuff involved, including Tim knows all about it. Stepping up to the microphone, Tim, help us out.
Basically, the problem here is it's the song. It's who holds the songwriting, who holds the rights of the songwriting, the actual publishing, and so the music we played, you know, we're playing it coming back from commercials. We tried everything to keep it from going in the stream. It ends up on YouTube. It ends up in the podcast, and then we get flags from all of these record companies that then force them to take the podcast down. And because we're all under one corporate umbrella, if we keep getting ours flagged, they're not just going to take ours down. They're going to take down podcasts for every station in the entire Town Square Media Network,
which is 400 some odd stations.
Yeah. We do not want to be the ones to get blamed for that.
Right.
So we tried everything we could to try to get around it. And doesn't seem like there's a way, but we do have corporate trying to figure out if there's a way they can keep that from going into that feed. And if not, we're working on a plan to maybe just have a little bit of production music, stuff that's royalty-free that we can use. But in terms of going out, the problem with going out and trying to get it from individual local artists is that some of them have put that on record, and then
yes,
somebody has, you know, paid for the publishing rights to those songs, and so it kind of can cause all kinds of issues. We don't have the manpower or the personnel or even the knowledge, really, to be able to track down all of those rights holders.
Right.
I went through this with a podcast that I do. Well, that I used to do. I did a streaming show on the internet that I started in 2020, and one of the bass player for Weezer,
yes,
made music for me, and like made it specifically for me, and said, "Here, this is for you to use." And the record company said, "We want that music. Stop giving that to him to use." So, you know, they don't really have any control over some of that. If they've written it while they're under their contract, you know, that can cause some of these problems.
Yeah, But thanks for the input. We do appreciate. Thanks, Tim. I do appreciate that. It is. Yeah, it's hard to navigate these different items, right? Different. The world is changing, and we gotta change with it. All right, I'm gonna take a break. I see you on hold. I will get to you. Open phones, guys. We'll be joined by Senator Kelly Doone, a Republican state senator from Taunton, but also represents Marion and Wareham and Rehoboth. Big district. Used to be represented by a Democrat. That's why I was gerrymandered like that, to keep the Democrat in power. Now a Republican took it because times they are a-changing. All right. So you want to call, you can. Anything on your mind, 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back. It's a beautiful morning out there. I hope you're able to enjoy the sun's rise this morning. Absolutely fantastic. Just a couple of months ago, we were buried in snow. Today it's beautiful out there. Hopefully you're able to enjoy it. We're expecting Senator Kelly Doone to call in. Yesterday, Brian Shortsleeve and his running mate, Sean Oliver, had a press conference up at the State House. Big news from their campaign. If Brian Shortsleeve is elected governor, Sean Oliver will be elected lieutenant governor. They are going to get rid of legislative parking privileges. So right now, and forever, really, in my memory, it's been a real pain, very expensive pain, to park in the city of Boston. Okay? And legislators get special license plates. If they use them, they don't have to use them, but they get them. And they can park for free in certain spots the legislature has in Boston. All right? It's one of the parts that's really nice about being a state legislator. You get a free parking spot in the city of Boston. Now, Brian Shortsleeve and Sean Oliver had a press conference yesterday. We've got the material here. They are going to lift that, take those privileges away. And my colleague was talking about it earlier this morning. I think he's 100% right. They will simply vote themselves parking money. They have a supermajority. The Republican Party, it's not Brian Shortsleeve's fault, but it's a fact. The Republican Party isn't even running enough candidates to overtake the Democrats for control of the legislature. So whoever gets elected governor, whether it's Healy, Mike Minogue, or Brian Shortsleeve, are going to have to deal with the legislative leaders. And I don't think it's a good idea to start off by personally taking away their parking spots, right? Because they will just return the favor in spades, right? I don't think it's a good idea to do that. I just don't. And I get the fact that at this point, Brian is a long shot for the nomination, although he's not out of the game at all. And if he doesn't get the nomination, he's not going to be there on the ballot in November. But these are sort of the campaign stunts that challengers who are running behind inevitably are reduced to pulling to get attention. Now, polling-wise, nobody likes the legislature. But individually, you guys have been voting for, as an example, Chris Markey, Chris Hendricks, Mark Montigny, Mike Rodericks. Obviously, you like these people. Or you like them better than their challengers. Mark Sylvia doesn't even have a challenger. You're going to tell me that the people of Fairhaven don't want Mark Sylvia to have a parking space in Boston? That the people of Mattapoisett don't want him to have a reasonable parking accommodation when he goes up there to represent them. Marion, likewise. Or my guest who's coming up, Kelly Dooner, state senator. You don't think the people of Taunton and Rehoboth and Wareham and Marion want Senator Dooner to have a reasonable parking accommodation when she goes to Boston to represent them? I just think that it's not a good idea. Like, I just think it's a Hail Mary to try to get angry people on your side. I just don't think it's a good idea. It's not a reasonable thing to say, well, I don't want my representative to have a government paid for parking spot in Boston. When you know that they're getting reelected and the Democrats are going to be the majority. By the way, you can't say only Republicans get a government paid for parking spot. So what we're talking about is that Representative Gaske from Wareham, Carver, that area, he won't have a complimentary parking spot. Representative Thurber, Representative Sweeney, right? Think about it. All these people who are members of the legislature, they're not going to get complimentary parking spots. They're going to have to pay for parking. I don't know. It just seems like the type of stuff you see out of challenger candidates that reduces them to... Exactly. I just don't think it's a serious thing. If you really think you're going to be the governor, the first thing you want to do is figure out, how do I work with the men and women who are going to be there with me in the legislative branch? How do I find common ground? Not how do I try to hurt them financially, personally, right? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I've seen a lot of good ideas out of Brian Schutzleaf. And I hope we'll see more, but this isn't one of them, right? I just don't think this is the kind of real policy that makes you say, yeah, that's the guy that I think has the temperament and the advisors around him that I want to put in charge of the government of Massachusetts, right? Seems like kind of dumb to me, quite frankly. 508-996-05. There's a lot of other stuff to talk about. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for holding. What am I doing here? Oh, well. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Oh.
Yeah. Good morning. There you are.
Okay. We're on. I thought maybe because they play a little music here, we get knocked off. Yeah,
it's terrible. Possible, but no, not at this point.
Does that mean I can't sing anymore and ask who are you?
You might be able to do that. We can try it. I'm not sure. To tell you the truth, literally, I know you're joking, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. I agree with you. You know, the representative's got to be able to get up there and be easily able to park. I think that's a bad move, trying to take that away. But the question I really wanted to ask you was... Okay. I don't know if it was past your bedtime. Did you see the debate with John Kelleher and and Seth Moulton and Denton?
I did, and John. I reached out to Seth Moulton and his campaign to invite him on to talk about it. No response. I reached out to John Deaton. He'll be on the phone in the 10 o'clock hour.
No, but there was a debate last night on
TV.
No,
I know. Yeah, there was a debate.
Oh, okay. Did you see it?
I did. What did you see?
What did I see?
Yeah.
I saw democracy, thriving by getting the two guys to be able to talk and see what one person says and another person says. It was sad that Markey doesn't feel that he has to do that,
right,
because he has the support of the Democrats in this state, you know. And I thought Deaton did a good job, and Seth Moulton represented himself well as well, you know. So, you know, these are the things you got to have to get the message out to the people as to what you're for and what you're against. I'd love to see, John Kelleher is a pretty even-handed guy, and I'd love to see this happen with the governor's race. What say you?
So, Yeah, I'd love to see debates. Always love debates. I'm in talk radio. Debates are my bread and butter, right? So I would love to see him. Thanks for the call. We're going to have John Deaton joining us. Let me see here. Let me put that on hold. What am I doing here? Okay, so I got Senator Dooner right now on hold. Senator Dooner, of course, represents Rehoboth, Taunton, Wareham, Marion, a whole lot of other towns as well. She's a Republican state senator working hard up there. Good morning, Senator Dooner. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
So, Senator Dooner, first off, we were just talking about Brian Shortsleeve. You're a Republican. I think you're neutral. I don't know where you are in the governor's race. But he came out yesterday about holding the legislators accountable, and by taking away their complimentary parking spots at the state house, that would, of course, impact you because you're going to be reelected this year. How do you feel about that?
Well, I hope to be reelected, and I'll be sure I'm in Boston one way or another. I have always been in person for every single formal session and every single vote I have taken in person. So I can assure you, for me, I will get to Boston whether there is a parking spot available or not. I will be there in person to ensure, you know, my district has representation there for the formal sessions, which I just want to point out again, I always do in person.
Yes, we appreciate that, Senator Dooner. Talk about Dakota's law. What is that? Explain it. You got into the budget. Yes. Explain it.
Yes. So first off, I want to give a shout out to State Rep X down in the Cape. He brought this to my attention when I first got elected. And I also heard about the K-9 PTSD Center, which is located in Seekonk, which is my district.
Yes.
I was doing some research on it. I reached out to the owner, James Lamonti, and I just wanted to come and take a tour. I felt, you know, it was for a good cause. It looked like he was doing great work. And I always try to just get into local businesses just to talk with them. Not that he's a business, but just to talk with them, kind of figure out what their challenges are and just, you know, to learn more about the district. And I went there and he had given me a tour. I went with Rep Howitt as well. And I was just so taken aback and really moved by the work that he does. When you think of these canines, you assume they stay with their owners, you know, after their time of service, whether that's the military, or a police dog, you assume they stay with the handler. And I didn't realize that some of these dogs have such severe PTSD from, you know, the trauma that they ensued while working that, unfortunately, they're not always fit to stay with the handler. And, you know, that this is no fault of the handler, of course. But, of course, you know, these police officers and military, they have young children, they have families, and they're also still working their job. And so uniforms can be a trigger for the canines. And so I didn't fully grasp, like, you know, what happens to these dogs. And it was James Lamonti at the K-9 PTSD Center who really explained to me that there's one of two options. They either come to him right now or they get euthanized. And that's happening, you know, everywhere. And thankfully, he's able to hold, I believe it's 16 canines that he works with to rehabilitate. And they have a forever home with him there. And so that's what really brought this challenge to my attention is after these canines serve our Commonwealth or our country, whichever it may be, as soon as they are no longer in their serving capacity, it's almost like they just get tossed away in a sense. You know, there's no fund to help for their medical expenses. And I mean, these are canines that found missing children, millions of dollars, you know, in drugs and firearms, illegal drugs, illegal firearms, who served our country overseas, were the front lines for our military, the front lines for our police officers, one of which Dakota, who was the canine that was in the search for the Boston Marathon bomber, and he helped locate that person. And there's no, you know, there's nothing to care for these dogs after they've served us. And to me, I view these canines, I'm a dog person, I have two pets, but these are working canines. They serve a job, they serve our country, they serve our Commonwealth. So what Dakota's law does is establishes a fund that will help for the medical expenses and the care that these canines receive after their service.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
That's really fantastic. You know, We're speaking with Senator Dooner, Senator Kelly Dooner, of course. She represents Marion, Wareham, the city of Taunton, Raynham, Carver, Rehoboth. Continue, Senator.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I think you don't always realize that they're not always able to stay with their handlers. I know that would be the preferred method for the handler and the canine, but sometimes the situations, you know, I learned how anything, even just putting on, you know, a police uniform or certain colored clothing that resembles a police uniform can be a trigger that would, you know, ignite the PTSD in these canines. So it's unfortunately not always the option. It's, of course, the first option for the handlers and the canines. But when that option isn't available, you know, it's kind of then what? And it's oftentimes euthanasia if it weren't for people like James Lamonti and the Canine PTSD Center. And so this is really geared around Dakota, but it covers military and, you know, canine police dogs. It covers all of them. And while Dakota was, I guess, the founder, I would say, of this, along with Rep X, this is going to help a lot of working canines here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that dedicated their lives to helping save ours.
We're speaking with Senator Kelly Dooner. I know that Dave Aguiar, who's the Rehoboth canine officer, his dog is Edo, he explained to me all about this home that's in Seekonk for dogs that used to be working dogs and now they were going to be abandoned or euthanized, sadly. But that this gentleman has taken, and you said it's a couple of dozen dogs, right? Over there in the rehabilitation?
He can hold up to 16, I believe. That's his capacity limit. Or it could be 12, one of the two. And I know, you know, he doesn't take off more than he can chew. He wants to make sure that all these dogs are getting the attention and
no
the care
pun
that
intended.
They need. Yeah.
No pun intended, more than they can chew. Get it? Mm-hmm. They're canines.
Yes.
They bite people. Well, they can bite people. Anyway, Senator Dooner,
well,
what else?
Know, they take down the bad guys.
They do take down the bad guys.
They take down the bad guys.
Yeah, or at least a guy who had a bad night, right? Senator Dooner, what else is happening up there at the State House?
Well, we just did the budget, which was a good long week. I always love budget week because we're in session every day, and I think it's important that we're all there every day communicating and debating the issues with each other. Our year closes out on July 31st, so I believe we'll be in session probably every Thursday up until the end of the year, which, again, I think is great. I wish we met every single Thursday or every Monday and Thursday. I think we could get a lot more done if we did. And right now we're taking up a bill kind of geared towards hospitals and healthcare. What's today? Wednesday, tomorrow, which, you know, I'm still reading through and waiting on some feedback from the hospitals within my district. But I know some were not too pleased with how quickly this one got pushed through that we're taking up tomorrow. So I, of course, am waiting for feedback on them. They're still dissecting the bill themselves to ensure it's not going to cause harm to the hospitals within my district.
What you're saying, I'm believing, Senator, is that the package of information, which has got to be extensive, you just received it or just received it the other day?
So we received it last week,
okay.
Which, you know, for I think when it comes to healthcare, it's a very complicated and complex issue. And so making sure you have enough time to review it, and if, you know, the hospitals with their policy experts are still going through this, I'm not sure that there was enough time to make the changes needed. I know the Senate does give more time for amendment filing, which I think is great compared to the House. But at the same time, you know, we were working with our hospitals in the 11th hour on Monday. And they were still combing through the bill to figure out, you know, if this was going to have a detrimental effect on any area, specifically the patients or the consumer, if any cost was going to get passed on to them in the long run. And unfortunately, you know, they weren't able to give me a direct answer on that because they were still trying to go through the bill. And our filing deadline was unfortunately Monday. So,
Senator Dooner, I have one of my callers or friends from the audience asking me if I can ask you where the COVID bill is for first responders crediting officers for time worked during COVID. I recognize that's just out of the blue type of question.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get back to
me,
you can.
No, it's a good question.
Do you have any idea?
Yeah,
where
no. I can give you just a quick update.
Sure.
And get back to you with a more in-depth update. But I know State Representative Allison Sullivan filed that as an amendment in the House, and I also did in the Senate. And unfortunately, it was rejected. So right now, my team and I have been trying to communicate with Ways and Means to figure out what the issue is with this bill. It's obviously been filed several times now, and it doesn't seem to be making much progress. So the way I look at these bills, probably from a new perspective, is just what is the holdup in the current bill? And, you know, what's the solution we can figure out to move forward? Because, you know, it doesn't sit there for session after session if there isn't an issue, in my opinion. So right now we're reaching out to Ways and Means to try and figure out what exactly is blocking this from moving forward. Is it a financial aspect? You know, what is really blocking this bill so we can hopefully figure out the solution to either correct that part, adjust that part, and help this bill move forward.
Thank you, Senator Duna. That was on the fly. I appreciate it. You've seen in not only in your district, but certainly in all the neighboring districts, repeated rejections of Proposition 2.5 override. What are your comments on that? How important is Prop 2.5 to you as a property owner and as a senator, Kelly Dooner?
Oh, extremely important. We have to protect it. And, you know, we need, I cannot stress this enough, that we need to be giving more local aid back to our communities. We've never fully funded our schools. And it's not, you'll hear me probably say this, Chris, every single time that I'm on the air with you, but okay, we spent $1 billion to house the migrants.
Right.
Imagine what that billions of dollars could have done for our schools. Teachers would not be getting laid off right now. Municipalities wouldn't be cutting services right now. And many, I won't say all, but many of those overrides wouldn't even be on the ballot if we were properly funding our communities with local aid. I am a strong believer that our communities, whether that's the select board, city councilors, they are the ones who are in tune with what their community needs, and giving them more unrestricted general aid to use at their discretion for what their community needs is something I am strongly advocating for. I think, you know, when you're serving as a senator or even a state rep, you have multiple municipalities, and I believe nobody is more in tune with the municipalities than the local elected officials, and we need to be properly funding them to ensure, you know, that they can provide the services that the residents and citizens here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts deserve. And again, this isn't, you know, raising taxes to give more money to communities. We had $1 billion that we gave to people who are not legally here.
Right.
And that is funding that could have gone back to our communities, and it should be going back to our communities.
It's really incredible. They were running their own foreign policy out of Beacon Hill. I mean, it's really outrageous. And I think that some of these people who voted for it are going to understand in the future just how much they let down their constituents. When Kelly was going door to door, you told me, you talked on 10,000 doors throughout Wareham, Marion, Taunton,
Rehoboth. 30,000.
Oh, 30,000, 30. I'm sorry. 30,000. And the biggest issue was what?
The migrant crisis.
Yep.
And I've always said, you know, if our schools were properly funded, our municipalities were properly funded, we have addressed the homeless challenge we're facing here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And there's extra. I am all for helping people. This is not, you know, those who are coming here, it's not their fault. They're fleeing a dangerous situation. But at the same time, we need to take care of our people first, and then we can help others. We can't help others when we can't even take care of ourselves right now. And so, you know, if our schools were properly funded, our municipalities were properly funded, and we're addressing our own homeless population, which I still do not believe is as much of a priority as it should be, and there's extra, I am all for helping those in need. But we need to take care of our citizens first and make sure that we're okay here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And, you know, as you know, it's unaffordable to live here right now. People and average working families are not okay right now. They're struggling to just stay here in this state, and we're just taxing people out of it.
We're speaking with Senator Kelly Dooner. Among the towns she represents is Rehoboth. Recently, Rehoboth town meeting acquiesced to the leadership and passed a zoning change which conforms with the MBTA Zoning Act. So that'll release, hopefully, some of the grant money. Can you talk about that?
Yes. And, you know, while, you know, each town can make their own decision, I'm going to continue fighting against the MBTA law in general.
Yes.
Just because in general, I think it's a bad policy for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And I think it is incredibly disheartening that we have a governor who would be willing to withhold grant funding to try and force municipalities into compliance. You know, it's crazy. You know, we see these No Kings protests across the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, but yet here in our own Commonwealth, we have one person mandating and telling these towns what they should and shouldn't do and not working with them. And, you know, it's incredibly frustrating. And while, you know, I, again, as a city councilor in Taunton, I supported it because Taunton was equipped for that influx of housing. I feel we spent years prepping for that because, you know, Taunton's a gateway city. A lot of people are coming here. But these smaller municipalities should not be forced. You know, it should be an option for municipalities. Or at the very least, the Commonwealth should be working with these municipalities to find something that's going to work for both of them and being collaborative as a partnership versus forcing these municipalities into zoning that, unfortunately, you know, the infrastructure, they can't handle it. It's not necessarily we don't want more housing or we don't want, you know, more people moving here. There are real infrastructure concerns with that level of influx of housing.
Senator Dooner, I appreciate you always making time for us. It's not quite the weekend, but have a great weekend. We'll talk to you maybe next week or the week after.
Thanks, Chris. You as well. Have a good one.
Bye. That's Senator Kelly Dooner. Of course, many of you are represented by her in the State Senate. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You soon. Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Again, want to thank Senator Dooner for calling us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's a beautiful, beautiful day out there. We'll be joined by the mayor of New Bedford, as we usually are on Wednesdays in the 11 o'clock hour. I was talking with one of my last callers right before Senator Dooner about the debates that took place last night. Really kind of an unorthodox debate on WBZ up in Boston, Channel 4. I think actually it was on the Channel 38 affiliate of Channel WBZ. But anyway, between Democrat congressman who wants to be the Democrat U.S.